Man, good morning. My name is Jared. I'm the youth pastor here, and I'm so excited about today. Like, I just think this, I'm just so jazzed up that I even get to be here and be a part of this. It's so cool that you guys allow us to do this, that you guys kind of get a window into what I get to see all summer long. We had a really busy summer, as you can see, and Sundays like this just kind of like make me smile because you guys get to see what Ryan and I get to see of like the Lord really truly working in the youth here at FCC. And I just want to give you a little bit of perspective on some numbers this summer. In VBS, this summer, we had 72 middle and high school students who served in VBS. 72. It's insane. There were 20 high school students who served during soccer camp. There were 20 middle school students who went on to the Danville missions trip, and there were 36 high school students who went on the Panther missions trip. With over 100 students deciding to serve, take at least 1 week, many of these students multiple weeks. Over 100 students served this summer. I'm just so beyond grateful to share with you this morning. We're going to look at a passage together, but I want to encourage you, if you're a high schooler or a middle schooler and you're here this morning, I would love for you to come out this Friday. September 19th is our kickoff date. For middle school, it's 7 to 9 p.m. If you're in high school, it's 7 to 11 p.m. We'd love for you to be a part of this community. One of the main reasons I became a youth pastor is because high school and middle school is hard, but you don't have to do it alone, and we'd love to do it with you on Friday night. So I'd love to see you there this Friday. We're going to be looking at our passage this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. It'll be on the screen if you don't have your Bibles in front of you. It says this: "When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God we speak in Christ." Would you pray with me this morning? God, I'm so grateful to just be a part of this service, Lord, and just to be able to hear from these testimonies, Lord. It's just even cool for me to see the ways I didn't even know you were working this summer, God, through people, through instances, through a run, through a soccer camp, whatever it would be, Lord, that you are working, you're in this, Lord. God, would you work in us this morning? God, as we've come here, God, we've come not to hear from anything but your word and your spirit, Lord. And my prayer for myself, God, is that you'd shut my mouth and speak through me, that you'd open up our hearts, that we'd receive what you have for us, and that you'd get all glory, honor, and praise. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I promise I won't take too much of your time this morning, but this passage means a lot to me. When I was about 15 or 16, we were doing a junior high wilderness camp, and I was asked, I think actually Pastor Jim asked me to do a devotional, a little five-minute devo with the leaders. It was about maybe seven or eight of us, and I was given 5 minutes, and I remember like taking this so serious. I was like, okay, like I gotta study the passage, I gotta have illustrations, I gotta have quotes, I gotta have a story, I gotta have this. Like, I went like so in on this, and I literally had like 5 minutes to share to like five people. But I was really, really excited about, and the passage I chose was this exact passage. And after talking about it with my mom, different things like that, I came up with this phrase, smell like Jesus, right? Where the passage talks about being the aroma of Christ. And all that was my very first Stevo or talk I ever shared, and was one of the moments in my life where I felt like the Lord was calling me to be a pastor. I was like, wow, I actually really enjoyed doing this, and this was really life-giving to me. And since then, that catchphrase has been a little bit of the catchphrase of our youth group. That's probably why you see people walking around with shirts that say, smell like Jesus, and hoodies, and students, you're like, what the heck does that mean? What does Jesus smell like? You're probably wondering, you're like, Jared, is this heretical? What are you trying to say? I promise, hopefully, by the end of this sermon, you'll understand what I mean by that. but the passage means so much to me. And from the story of it, and even just the meaning of it, that from the inspiration of one of my fellow youth leaders, I decided to just get it permanent. So could you just pull the picture up? Yeah, that's my arm, and that's Cole Minnick's arm. What up, Cole? That's my guy. He came to me, he's like, yo, I got an extra spot on my arm, and I'm going to get smell like Jesus tattooed. I'm like, no, you're not, because I'm totally coming with you. Absolutely not. Yeah, so thanks, Cole. Also, I forgot to mention this. I just want to give a big round of applause to Olivia Minnick, his wife. She organized and led the whole worship team from picking the songs, working with them, literally showing up here in the wee hours of the morning. So I couldn't have done today without her. So thank you, Olivia. Yeah. So I love the passage, obviously, as you can see. So we're going to jump right into it in the passage. I have three different takeaways. I want to talk about what's really going on here in 2 Corinthians. Paul's updating the Corinthians on what is going on, his travel plans, right? They kind of are accusing him of being a little fickle, saying, I was going to come to you guys, but I didn't. He decides to write a letter instead. But he wants to make sure clear all these different travel plans. So he talks about, I went to Troas to preach Christ. A door was open, but, you know, Titus wasn't there, so I moved on. But he wanted to make sure that he was still writing to him, that he was still connecting, that they knew that ultimately he loved them, but ultimately he was following Christ's and Jesus' direction and leading is in his life, right? So then we get to our passage here where he starts talking about this triumphal procession. And the first thing I want to focus on, and really we don't have enough time to get through the whole passage this morning, so I want to focus on verses 14 through 16. But number one, I'm going to give us three takeaways this morning. Number one is smell like Jesus. You probably could have guessed that, right? Smell like Jesus. Verse 14 says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in a triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Paul is stating clearly that not only does he follow God's lead, but that his victory is won in Christ. When I first read this passage, I remember being 15 or 16, and I was like, what in the world is a triumphal procession? Like, what is it? I'm like looking it up, blah, blah, blah. The triumphal procession was Paul's alluding to a Roman celebration of accomplishment. It was actually a Roman parade when they conquered a city or did something impressive military-wise. They would lead back into Rome in this giant victory parade, right? So they have all this lineup. The parade had elements of including, you know, the bound captives for where they just had conquered. They had bulls from the spoil that they were getting ready to sacrifice to their main deity, Jupiter, right? They had priests, actually, that were walking, and they carried censers that were filled with incense that was giving off a smell, right? Spreading this aroma of victory. So Paul's alluding to this historical language and uses this to give us a beautiful picture that he's saying, thanks be to God who always leads us in a triumphal procession, right? That he's in this triumphal procession, not with the Romans, but with Christ as he's leading his life, bringing him victory. And his victory is not in himself or what he does, but in Christ, which you just heard a lot of testimonies that point exactly to that. But he gives us this beautiful picture that everybody in this parade would be smelling a sweet aroma of incense. And he's saying that we together are in Christ, are the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. And the application is the same for us today, that we would be the aroma of Christ, that we would smell like Jesus, right? As funny as that sounds. And maybe you're wondering, well, what does Jesus smell like? If when I wear this shirt, that's the most common question I get. Well, what does Jesus smell like, right? And I'm like, well, he probably smelled pretty bad because I don't think deodorant was, you know, invented. Maybe like a mixture of olive oil and sand, maybe. I don't know. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, it says this, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The same word here for fragrance is the same in our passage and the same in this passage, right? How we smell like Jesus We walk out how Jesus did. We walk out in love. We smell like Jesus by walking in his love. And the clearest picture of Jesus' love is that he laid down his life for us. So we turn and we walk in love and lay down our lives for those around us. He said it was a pleasing and fragrant offering to God. The sacrifice of Jesus was a pleasing smell to the Lord. This is such a powerful word picture for us that we use. We can understand the power of the sense of smell, right? Paul could have used any sense here. He could have used our sense of vision, you know, our sense of touch, right? Our hearing, sound, but he doesn't. Out of all the five senses, he uses the sense of smell. And I think because the sense of smell is way more powerful than we might actually think. Out of all of our senses, sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste, our sense of smell is the most likely to trigger memories. It's our strongest memory scent. That's the reason when you smell something, it can like transport you back to like a memory you haven't thought about in so long. But you walk into that room, you're like, what does that smell like? Like it smells like something I know. And sometimes you can't even place it, right? That's because our sense of smell is so connected to our memories. Like for me, kind of a weird thing, the musty smell of basements reminds me of my dad, right? My dad doesn't smell like a basement. Sorry, Dad, if you're listening. But my dad's an electrician, so working with him growing up, we were always in basements and crawl spaces. So anytime I smell like a basement, I'm just like, it's comforting. It smells like home. It reminds me of my dad. It's the strangest thing, but every time I smell that musty smell, everyone's like, oh, what is that? I'm like, it kind of smells nice. So like, feels like the comfort of my dad's embrace, you know? Right? It brings me back somewhere. Right? It reminds me of a memory. And it's the same thing. Something could be a sweet memory, and some senses of smell are the worst memory. It's like talking to someone, and they have like coffee breath or something like that, and you're there. Worse is like praying with someone, and they're right there, and you're locked in. You're like, it's just breathing. You're like trying not to breathe, but then you're like remembering I need to breathe, and you're like, this is bad. This is not good. Right? The sense of smell is a strong sense. It triggers memories. It's important to us. It latches on to who we are and what we've lived through. There's a scene in the movie Elf, which is hands down, I think, the best movie, or at least the best Christmas movie. I'll stand on that. And there's a scene where he starts working at this toy store and he finds out Santa's coming, right? And he starts freaking out. He starts screaming, all that stuff. And Santa comes in and he's so excited. Buddy the Elf here, right? Because he's from the North Pole. All this. Everybody's seen the movie, right? Do I need to like give the plot? Yeah, we've been there. If you haven't, then I don't want to be friends. But he's so excited. He jumps on. He's like about to jump on Santa's lap, right? And he's looking at him and he's like, you're not Santa. And like, Santa's like, dude, shut up. You know, he's like, cool it, man. Okay. Like, I'm trying to get these kids to go. And he's like, the kid sitting on his lap is now confused. He's like, you're not Santa. You're a fraud. And he's like, I am Santa. And he's going back and forth. And he goes, you smell like beef and cheese. Right? Why? Because he knew the scent of Santa, right? He was close to Santa enough where he knew. He's like, you don't look like Santa, you don't sound like Santa, and you certainly don't smell like Santa. Santa does not smell like beef and cheese, right? I want you to ask yourself this question. When people smell you, what do you remind them of? And I'm not talking body odor now, right? We're not talking about BO, right? I'm on natural deodorant. It just doesn't work the same. I'm trying. You know what I mean? I'm trying, but it just is like a 6-hour expiration date. I'm trying, and I'm trying to do my best. But when people smell you, right, what do you remind them of? Right? Do you smell like beef and cheese? Or do you smell like the aroma of Christ? Right? Do you smell like bitterness, anger, gossip, rage? Or do you smell like Jesus? Our goal as Christians is that as people get to know us, they get to know who Jesus is. Right? That's our goal. Is that we would reflect Christ in all that we do, that we would smell like Jesus. Do you smell like Jesus or do you smell like the world? Am I spreading the knowledge of Christ or just the knowledge of myself? When you spend enough time with someone, you start becoming more and more like them. And believe it or not, you start smelling like them, right? If you have a best friend, you probably know this. You see them or whatever, and it's like, you know the smell of their house. It's not a bad smell, but it's distinct, right? And it's like, you smell your friend, it's like, oh, you smell like your house. And that's familiar to me because I've spent hours and days there at your house. When we spend time with Jesus, the more we spend time with Jesus, we want to smell more and more like him. Man, I don't know about you, but I think now, more than ever, the world needs Christians to smell like Jesus. The last several months, we have been bombarded with news headlines of mass shootings, assassinations, global conflict, and what seems to be ever-increasing political unrest on both sides. People are angry, sad, and scared. Our world feels scary and unsafe right now. Our neighbors, coworkers, and classmates and families need the sweet aroma of Christ. They need people that walk in love, not anger. They need people that are filled with hope for heaven, not despair of today. They need people that put others' needs before their own. They need people that forgive their enemies and pray for those who persecute them. They need peace and comfort that can only come from knowing Jesus. And hopefully, just hopefully, they experience maybe just a fraction of that by knowing you and you smelling like Jesus. Wherever we go, I hope we smell like Jesus because the world needs it. Secondly, God the Father thinks I smell good. It's the second point. I know that sounds weird, but we're going to get there. Verse 15 says, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing," right? Notice that key phrase here. We are the aroma of Christ to God, right? It's strange to think about this, but when God the Father smells us, we smell like Jesus to him, right? This is because of the completed work of Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross for us, right? This is might be a strange concept for you, but if you just look in scripture, there are so many references to a pleasing aroma, right? This ties all the way back to the Old Testament of sacrificial language, right? These burnt offerings, oftentimes it ends with, and it was a pleasing aroma to God, right? So it's weird to think God has a sense of smell, right? Or that he thinks I smell like anything. But here we are. God the Father thinks you smell like Jesus. So when he smells you, he smells the pleasing aroma of his son. The problem is, this is beautiful truth. But the problem is we don't believe it, right? I mean, at least for me, I know I have a hard time believing this. I constantly have to remind myself time after time of my standing before the Lord. And unfortunately, a lot of times I'm trying to make myself look good enough for God instead of accepting his grace for me. I'm trying to cover myself in different colognes and good works and different things that I can do for God in hope that I'd please him, hope that I smell good to him, and hope that he loves me. And yet I stand completed in the work of Jesus Christ. I want to reference back to a verse I quoted earlier, Ephesians 5, 1 through 2 says this, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Jesus' most precious act of love smelled good to the Father. So if we are now covered by Jesus' blood, we now smell good to God. Isaiah 61:10 says this, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels," right? Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have been clothed in his righteousness. We have been robed in his salvation. We have been washed by the blood of Jesus and now smell like him. When we truly believe in the sufficiency of Jesus' sacrifice, we can truly embrace God's steadfast love for us. When we truly embrace his steadfast love for us, we can love those around us. See, the thing is, it's a lot easier to smell like Jesus when you realize God the Father already thinks you do smell like him. Some of you have walked in this morning just kind of feeling beat up from the world and just feeling like a dirty, rotten sinner. But if you surrendered your life to Jesus, if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been covered in his righteousness. So that means when God the Father looks at you, maybe picture this, like when he looks at you, is it a disappointing gaze from an upset father who's frustrated and angry that you keep sinning or you keep messing up or you're not perfect? Because the reality is when he looks at you, he sees the completed work of his son, Jesus. God the Father thinks we smell good. Third and final, what does the gospel smell like to you? Verses 15 and 16 says, we are the aroma of Christ, the God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Does this gospel smell like death or life to you? The beautiful good news of the gospel is that it offers us eternal life with Jesus, but we have to choose and accept and surrender these truths in our lives. When we accept the gospel and the truth of it, that I'm a sinner incapable of saving myself, I'm in desperate need of a savior to wash me of my shame and set me free from my sins. The reward is life and life to the fullest with my savior. But the choice is ours. If you deny these truths, the gospel is a stench of death to you. Paul said this earlier on in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18. He says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The gospel can be a stench of death or life, depending on you if you accept its truths or not. Maybe God is tugging on your heart this morning. Maybe he has been for a while. Don't wait to freely accept this gift that's been given to you. Don't wait to accept the beautiful purchase of God's love that was made on the cross. God does not want to leave you in the stench of your own sin. He's calling you to be washed and cleaned, to smell the righteousness of his son. After the service, we always have people up here for prayer, and I'd encourage anybody to come up to receive prayer, whether you're having a hard time in your life or a struggle, or maybe this morning God's tugging on your heart and say, man, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. And you would just like someone to pray or say, look, would you lead me in that? Would you just lead me to God in a way that he's been calling on my name? He's been knocking on the door of my heart. Man, if that's you, this is a beautiful message. It can be a message of life to life. God does not want to leave you in the stench of your sin or shame. He's willing and able to wash you clean, to wash you in the blood of Jesus so that you can smell like him, that the God the Father might think that you smell good. Let's pray this morning. God, thank you so much for who you are, God. And I pray that you would stir in hearts this morning. God, that you would work in us in a way that only you can work. God, I ask, maybe it's just one person. Just one person, God, that you're working in. Lord, would you continue the call in their life that they would feel emboldened to receive prayer or ask a friend or talk to someone. God, that you would work in a way, Lord, that we would be people that know of your love for us, God. And if there's Christians here, Lord, that are just struggling with a poor image of their self, feels like they're just drowning in the shame and guilt of their sin, Lord, would you remind them that you've washed them clean? Would you remind them that you look at them with eyes of love, that you smell them and you smell your son, Jesus? Lord, remind us of these truths this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Whatever you do today, wherever you go, I hope you know that God thinks you smell good, and I hope that you go out in the world and smell like Jesus. Thank you.